Stay tuned for Dialogos Radio, a weekly Greek-American radio program hosted by Michael Nevradakis, here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Χάρης και κρύβει την τροπή του στο σκοτάδι. Όμως τι φταίει αν γεννήθηκε φτωχός? Τι φταίει αυτός αν τη ζωής, αν τη ζωής είναι ρημάτι? Άλλη τι δίχως αγάπη, με δίχως μάνα και δίχως σπίτι. Άλλη τι με στη μανία του βοριά, μικρός πυργίτη. Άλλη κι αυτός ίσως μπορέσει μια φορά να βρει ένα όνειρο, μια αγκάλι, ένα παγίο. Να βρει δυο χέρια να του δώσουν φτερά και τα δυο χείλη, για να του δω, για να του δω σου είναι κουράγιο. Άλλη τι δίχως αγάπη, με δίχως μάνα και δίχως σπίτι. Άλλη τι με στη μανία του βοριά, μικρός πουργίτη. Άλλη τι.
That was the great Vicky Moshoyou starting off today's broadcast with an absolutely beautiful song titled Aliti. You're tuned to the Dialogos Radio, the weekly Greek-American radio program which comes to you on 9 radio stations across 4 continents and online. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and on today's program and the Dialogos interview series which is coming up, we will be featuring an interview with the esteemed economist Ha-Joon Chang of the University of Cambridge, who is the author of a recent book titled 23 Things They Don't Tell You About Capitalism. In today's interview, Chang will analyze for us the current economic situation in Greece, Europe, and worldwide, and he will talk about the many myths that are often associated with capitalism and with the free market. This promises to be an extremely insightful interview, and it is coming up now here on Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. The Dialogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Dialogos Radio. Joining us today on the Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series is the economist and professor Ha-Jun Chang of the University of Cambridge. He's a regular contributor to The Guardian, and he's also the author of a recent book titled 23 Things They Don't Tell You About Capitalism. Ha-Jun, welcome to our program today.
Thank you for inviting me.
In your book, you debunk many of the myths about capitalism that we often hear in the media and in conventional teachings of economics, myths that are often seen as conventional wisdom. What are some of the biggest myths that you have identified?
Well, at least 23 of them, as I wrote in the book. I mean, there are more. But yeah, I think there are a few very important ones that have played quite a big role in shaping our economy and society in the way that has evolved in the last 2-3 decades. And the first myth is that, you know, free markets are natural things, like, I don't know, the mountain or the river, and you shouldn't interfere with it. I mean, that's the biggest myth, and I try to debunk it in the very first chapter of my 23 Things book. Also, that is this persistent myth that starting from Britain in the 18th century and the United States in the 19th century, all successful countries have developed because they used free trade and free market policies, which is completely untrue. If you actually look at historical record, for example, in the 18th century, Britain was the most protectionist economy in the world. In the 19th century, the United States was the most protected economy in the world, and with this government industrial policy that countries like Germany, Japan, France, and so on have used quite well known. So that's another important myth. That probably the third one I would say is this myth that inequality is good for growth. You know, making rich people richer makes all of us richer. Okay, you might have smaller slice of the pie, but if you give more money to the rich people, they'll invest and create wealth and jobs, and in the end your pie will be bigger than what you had in absolute terms, even if it's smaller slice of entire pie. And then there are many more, but I think these three were probably the most important in creating this notion in the last 2-3 decades that the best thing you can do for the economy is to increase inequality, have free trade, privatize everything, and then everything will be fine.
Another myth that you've identified in a recent piece that you wrote is the myth of the so-called lazy mob. And we've heard many media outlets refer to the Southern European populations in particular as being lazy and unproductive, that they don't work hard. How do you respond to these accusations?
Well, first of all, about this notion of being lazy, I mean, it's based on even racist kind of stereotypes. The stereotype is that people who live in cold countries work harder, and people who live in warm countries like Greece and Italy don't work very hard. But if you actually look at the real statistics, you will find that on average, the Greek worker works for 2,040 hours. This was from 2011. And this is 40% more than the Germans and 50% more than the Dutch. So who's the lazy one? Italians work over 1,700 hours per year, and that's 25% more than the Germans. So based on this completely mistaken idea that they are lazy, you know, that is not why countries like Greece and Italy have problems. The problem in those countries is that, yes, I mean, they have a lower productivity than Germany or the Netherlands, so their workers produce less income, even though the number of hours they work might be much longer. And this problem of low productivity is not really the fault of the workers. You know, it's the fault of their capitalists and the government, because unless your capitalists and your government invest in productive machines, invest in research and development to develop new technologies, invest in infrastructure like road and ports and so on, national productivity is not going to rise. So if it's anyone's fault, it's the fault of the Greek capitalists and the Greek government, not Greek workers. Yeah? So I think this story of lazy Greeks and Italians is just an excuse invented by people who don't want to do anything fundamental about the problems with those countries within the context of European Monetary Union. And I think that it's very unfortunate that this kind of groundless story circulates and is so widely accepted that we have to really rectify this kind of misconception.
Recently, we've been hearing proclamations by Greek politicians and also from European Union officials regarding Greece's economic success story, and in particular about the country's primary budget surplus. Is this success story and this surplus also a myth in your opinion?
Well, you know, yes, what you count as success depends on your goal. So if you are Hitler, how many Jews you have killed, the more Jews you killed is greater success. So my view about this interpretation is that these people are looking at the wrong goal. You know, why are we interested in creating wealth and generating income and so on? Because we really want people to be happy, people to have good jobs and have a fulfilling life and have a comfortable life through material consumption. On that account, you know, unemployment rate in Greece is still above 25%. Youth unemployment is still above 55%. So on that account, this is a complete failure. So yes, I mean, you have a so-called primary surplus, which means that your current tax revenue is bigger than your current spending. If you exclude your repayment, your government debt, but that can be called a success only when you think having budget surplus is the most important goal. Yes, I mean, if you think that, maybe it is a success, but when you think about the human misery and poverty and deprivation that Greek people are going through, I mean, how can the people even have the audacity to call this success? I just don't understand.
Looking at the economic situation overall, you've dismissed the claims that Europe is now in an economic recovery. You've instead argued that we are experiencing another economic bubble and one that is about to burst. Why do you believe this to be the case?
Yes, I mean, let's first look at this recovery story. You know, the people talked about the lost decade of 1990s in Japan. During that period, per capita income in Japan grew at the rate of 1% per year. Now, if Europe's going to achieve that kind of growth over a 10-year period following on from the 2008 financial crisis, the European economies will have to grow at like 3-4% every year for the next 4 years, and it's not going to happen. So even if it is a recovery, yeah, I mean, technically, yes. I mean, you have fallen to the bottom and you are climbing up. So yeah, relatively speaking, it's a recovery, but recovery has been very slow and very weak, and you are going to have Europe's lost decade, which is actually worse than Japan's lost decade of the 1990s. Now, having said that, yes, I mean, there is that one segment of the European and indeed global economy that is booming, which is the stock market, and especially the two leading stock markets of the world in the United States and the UK. I mean, there's a huge bubble. You know, people agree that in the run-up to the 2008 financial crisis in 2006 and 2007, you had the huge asset bubbles in the real estate market, also in stock market. Now, the U.S. stock market is 20% bigger than what it was back in 2007, when the current per capita income in the United States is like 1% higher than what it was in 2007. So we have a bubble that is even bigger than what we had back in 2007 without any fundamental things about the economy changing. The UK is slightly better, but in a similar situation, UK per capita income hasn't even recovered, unlike in the US at the 2007 level. And the UK stock market is basically at the same level as what it was in the autumn of 2007, when, yes, I mean, everyone looking back admit that there was a huge bubble there. So yes, I mean, these bubbles are going to burst. You know, I mean, the unfortunate thing is that we cannot predict the timing very well, and I cannot tell you exactly when this is going to happen. 1 year later, 2 years later, who knows? But when this happens, we'll be in an even bigger mess, because the last time, at least governments could run some debt and kind of counter the downturn in the private sector activities. This time around, many governments are not going to be able to do that. So we are in for big trouble.
We are seeing further rounds of job cuts and cuts to salaries, cuts to vital public services as well in countries such as Greece. And we also see the continued insistence of the EU and the International Monetary Fund for privatization programs to push forward. What would the impact of these continued policies be? And can you point to any examples of such austerity policy succeeding in the past in leading an economy back to growth?
Yes, I mean, the only thing I can tell in this regard is that this kind of austerity policy has never worked. You know, the Latin American countries, the African countries, they tried the exact same recipe issued to them at the time by the IMF and the World Bank throughout the 80s and 90s. basically they had 30 years of low growth, stagnation, increasing inequality and deterioration in the quality of public service. Latin American countries, per capita income in those the countries used to grow at 3.1% between 1960 and 1980 when they had more interventionist policies. In the next 30 years, with all those austerity policies, privatization, free trade, you name it, their growth rate has fallen to one quarter of that, 0.8% per year. In Africa, it was even worse, that the African countries were not doing brilliantly in the 60s and 70s, growing at 1.6% per year, which is not too bad, but not brilliant. But in the next 30 years, they basically have stayed in the same place. I mean, during that 30-year period, their average annual growth rate was 0.2%. That means that after 30 years, their income is less than 15% higher than it was 30 years ago. So this is a huge failure. And actually, when it comes to more historical experiences, people can look at this wonderful book by British political scientist who teaches in America called Mark Bly. And he goes through all these cases of 1920s, US, Germany, Sweden and Finland in the 1980s, Latvia in the more recent period, and looks at them very, very carefully and comes to the conclusion that, yes, that the only possible exception to this rule that austerity policy never works is Ireland in the 1980s, but it was in a very, very special circumstance because it just joined the EU and huge amount of cohesion fund flowed into the country, basically countering a lot of these austerity policies, because even the government was cutting spending, EU was spending more. So he says that, yes, that's probably one possible exception. But in every other case, for example, countries like Latvia, Latvia has often been touted as a success story of austerity in the recent period. The country that has managed to survive only by exporting huge number of people, The population has been falling at the rate of more than 1% per year. So even then, it's the performance has been quite poor. So I can tell you, basically there's no country which has succeeded with this kind of policy ever.
We are on the air with economist and University of Cambridge professor Hajun Chang here on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series. Hajun, do you believe that the euro as a currency and the common market were structurally flawed from the start?
Well, I'm afraid it was, because the most obvious analogy between the European currency union with the European currency union is the United States. The US is another continental size economy with very diverse conditions. The parts of California and Massachusetts are the richest, among the richest places in the world. If you go to places like Mississippi, you could be in a third world country. Despite that, the U.S. hasn't experienced a problem like the European Union has when something goes wrong in some part of the economy. And plenty of things have gone bad in different parts of the U.S. economy over the last 200 years, but it hasn't had the kind of problem that the European Union has with Greece, Italy, and Portugal, because there's a very high degree of fiscal integration. So in the EU, if income falls by 1 euro in one of the countries, for whatever reason, roughly 5 cents go back to that region through EU level transfer. In the case of the United States, something like 50% goes back if income falls in one of the 50 states through federal transfer system. So there's a very high degree of fiscal integration. And also you cannot really compare the extent of labor mobility in the two economies because, in Europe, you also have this freedom of labor movement. But the truth is that because of language barrier and cultural barrier and differences in the structure of the housing market and so on, the actual mobility is very limited. Whereas in America, that a lot of people move, for example, the 1980s, when all the heavy industries went into decline in the Midwestern states, a lot of people moved to the Southwest, like Arizona and New Mexico, and also to California. So the point that I'm trying to make is that if you want currency union, you need at least the U.S. level of integration through labor market policy and fiscal transfer and so on. And unfortunately, the euro was launched when these conditions were not there. So, yes, I'm afraid that it might have worked if they introduce the common currency among the sort of core, you know, 5-6 countries with similar levels of income and low language barriers and so on. Unfortunately, this project was pushed when the conditions were not ready because of political reasons, and we are living through the consequences of this ill-judged decision to launch the common currency.
Would a departure from the Eurozone and a return to a national currency be a viable option for a country like Greece? And how would a country like Greece accomplish this and be able to rebuild its economy under such circumstances?
Whether Greece should stay in the Eurozone or not, of course, is a matter of the relative cost and benefit. I mean, there's no God-given reason why it should or shouldn't. But yes, I mean, my view is that if the European Union is going to maintain the current policy stance, it is better for Greece to exit the common currency and devalue its own currency and reflate the economy. Of course, the biggest trouble is that in the decade or so of currency union, a lot of Greek industries have been destroyed. So basically, you have much weaker productive capacity to rebuild the economy even after you devalue. So it will be a tough struggle. But, you know, when you look at examples like Argentina, which basically had a unilateral currency union with the US dollar in the 1990s, and when that didn't work out, he linked his currency with the US dollar and defaulted on many of his loans, and then became the fastest growing economy in Argentina, in Latin America between 2003 and 2011. You know, when you look at a case like that, you begin to think that maybe Greece will be better off outside the Eurozone. And, you know, I mean, my view is that, frankly, unless you are really ready to leave the Euro, the rest of Eurozone countries, especially Germany and so on, they are not going to give you many concessions. So I think it's that also strategically better if you know, think about a future outside the Eurozone in a more serious way.
And we've been hearing recently about some economic and even a social turbulence in countries such as Argentina, which you mentioned a moment ago, and also Puerto Rico as well. Is the situation in Greece right now similar in any way to what these countries are now experiencing?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I don't know much about Puerto Rico, but yes, of course, I mean, it's a very analogous example in the sense that it is at, you know, part of the U.S., but not part of the U.S., and therefore it gets a very bad treatment from the federal government. So I think that there must be a lot of parallel there, but I know a bit about Argentina. Yes, I mean, Argentina has been in trouble in the last couple of years, but I think this was simply the result of policy misjudgment, because what has happened is basically they failed to devalue the currency in the last few years when the currency, that real value of the currency was falling, and this has created a lot of problems. But in the last couple of months, they actually devalued the currency by 20%, and that's exactly the kind of flexibility that you get by having your own currency. And I expect Argentina to recover from the recent downturn. Of course, it's a struggle. You know, I mean, the country has been basically blackballed in the international financial market, and its access to international credit is difficult, and there are a lot of internal problems and so on. But, you know, don't forget that between 2003 and 11, it was the fastest growing Latin American economy. And, you know, even if you include the downturn in the last couple of years, performance, I mean, I haven't done the exact calculation, but its performance would be one of the best in the continent. So compared to what the situation was back in 2001 and 2002, when it was trying desperately to repay whatever foreign debt they had to repay by selling everything and cutting government spending and sacking everyone and basically destroying the economy. You know, I would say that the situation, despite the problems in the last 2-3 years, is infinitely better than that.
Lots of Greek people are migrating or thinking of migrating, particularly the young and the educated. You've written, however, recently that economies such as that of the UK are facing a jobs crisis, and in particular, a crisis in terms of the quality of the jobs that are being created. What should these young people know about the state of the economies of countries such as the UK and others?
Yes, I mean, you know, to exaggerate, you know, the UK has become a very polarized economy. So there are a lot of very well-paid, too well-paid investment bankers. There are a lot of very well-paid high-tech researchers and marketing agents and so on. But then there are increasingly fewer stable jobs for skilled workers as there used to be. And the rest of the population are now working in very low-quality, low-paid, and very unstable jobs are in, you know, supermarkets and call centers and so on. So yes, I mean, unfortunately, that when Greek young people from Greece moved to Britain, unless they are extremely highly qualified and have a PhD or something like that, they'll usually end up in very low-paid, unstable jobs like waitressing or cleaning and so on. I mean, if the situation continues in the way it has in Greece, even those jobs might be better than staying in Greece, because if you're a young person, the chance of you being unemployed is higher than 50%. So, yes, I mean, unfortunately, even with such poor conditions in the UK and other countries, the young people from Greece might still want to move. But yes, that they have to realize that the situation in these countries, I mean, especially in Britain, is not very good. And this has made the local population here very hostile to people from other EU countries coming and working in Britain. So, I mean, they have to bear that in mind.
You've argued that neoliberal economic policies do not work. What alternative economic system do you propose? And do you believe, for instance, that we should move toward a post-capitalist economic system?
Well, I mean, I don't think that we are ready for post-capitalism. No one has provided a convincing vision of what a post-capitalist economy could be, especially after the fall of the Soviet model. But the point I want to emphasize is that, you know, neoliberal capitalism is not the only form of capitalism. So actually, if you look around, I mean, capitalism has enormous varieties. So the American capitalism is very different from the Japanese one, which is very different from the Swedish one, which is very different from the Italian one, which is quite different from the French one, and so on. So there is a huge variety of capitalism, and don't forget, I mean, even the US and Britain, the two kind of centers of neoliberalism, even they were not neoliberal until the 1970s, you know, but in the 1950s, under the Republican President Eisenhower, the top income tax rate in the United States was 92%. So, I mean, even in those countries like the US and the UK, this neoliberal capitalism is something quite new. And yeah, I think that we have a lot of possibilities of modifying capitalism. We take it for granted, but if you, try to tell about, say, today's Sweden or Finland to a 19th century capitalist or 19th century the free market economist, they would call their country socialist, you know, government taking more than 50% of output in taxes and spending something like 30% of GDP for social welfare and a lot of regulations on what business can and cannot do. And in countries like Finland, quite a lot of state-owned enterprises. So, you know, I mean, that depending on who you are, you may actually call those countries socialist. So if you consider that, yeah, maybe we have already some element of a post-capitalist system, but even accepting that these countries are fundamentally capitalist, which I believe they are, there are many different ways of running capitalism, and this neoliberal capitalism that has dominated the world in the last 3 decades, it is one of the worst forms.
In closing, where can our listeners find out more about you and your books and your writing?
My personal website, which is very regularly updated, and it's hajunchang.net. I mean, my name in one word, hajunchang.net. And there'll be all about my academic and more popular writing there.
Hajun, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today and for sharing all of your insights here on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series.
Thank you. It was my absolute pleasure.
T Take the Alagos Radio on a go with you with the new the Alagos Radio app for Kindle devices. Now you can listen to our podcasts, our on-demand broadcasts, and the Alagos Radio 24/7, read all of our latest news and announcements, plus our articles, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, all in one great new app. The official the Alagos Radio app for Amazon Kindle devices, available now in the Amazon Marketplace. Attention iTunes users, the Alagos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Alagos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. We just heard this week's edition of the Alagos interview series here on the Alagos Radio and our interview with the economist and author Ha-Joon Chang of the University of Cambridge. The podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, thealagosmedia.org, and our apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and for Google Chrome, and iTunes and TuneIn.com, in the Swell Radio and WeCast apps for iPhones and for iPads, and in the Windows Marketplace for Windows phones and for the Windows 8 operating system. For now, though, we'll get back to some more music. Keep it right here on the Alagos Radio.
Ξέρω είναι παράλογο, όμως θα σου το πω. Εσένα δεν σ' αγάπησα, τον τόπο σου αγαπώ. Το ξέρω είναι παράλογο, όμως θα σου το πω. Εσένα δεν σ' αγάπησα, τον τόπο σου αγαπώ. Τα κρεμαστά του τα νερά, τα ρόδα στους βαξέδες, τα άσπρα τα μοναστήρια του, τους δυο τους μιναρέδες. Παράλογο, μ' άκουσε κι αυτό. Σαν αγαπώ τον τόπο σου, διπλά σε αγαπώ. Το ξέρω είναι παράλογο, μ' άκουσε κι αυτό. Σαν αγαπώ τον τόπο σου, διπλά σε αγαπώ. Τα κρεμαστά του τα νερά, τα ρόδα στους μπαξέδες, τα άσπρα τα μοναστήρια του, τους δυο τους μιναρέδες. Κρεμαστά του τα νερά, τα ρόδα στους μπαξέδες, τα άσπρα τα μοναστήρια του, τους δυο τους μιναρέδες. Τα κρεμαστά του τα νερά, τα ρόδα στους μπαξέδες, τα άσπρα τα μοναστήρια του, τους δυο τους μιναρέδες.
Thank you. βασανίζουνε πολλές αμφιβολίες τρελές, αμφιβολίες τρελές. Αν μ' αγαπάς τώρα που είσαι μακριά μου, αν με θυμάσαι όπου πας, αν νοσταλγείς την αγκαλιά μου ή τώρα πια δεν μ' αγαπάς. Αμφιβολίες, το μυαλό μου βασανίζουνε πολλές. Αμφιβολίες τρελές, αμφιβολίες τρελές. Καρδιά μου βασανίζουνε πολλές αμφιβολίες τρελές, αμφιβολίες τρελές. Πώς έχουν μείνει ορφανά τα όνειρά μου, για μένα πια πώς δε ρωτάς. Η ιστορία μας πια πάει και τώρα γι' άλλο με πονάς. Αμφιβολίες, το μυαλό μου βασανίζουνε πολλές. Αμφιβολίες τρελές, αμφιβολίες τρελές.
Έχουν στα στήθια τους πληγεί. Κι όσο υπάρχουν ερωτευμένοι, η προδοσία θα πονάει πιο πολύ. Μοιάζουμε, μοιάζουμε όλοι ερωτευμένοι. Ίδιος ο πόνος, ίδιο το δάκρυ, σ' όλη την οικουμένη. Όλου του κόσμου η προδομή με τα τραγούδια τους μιλούν και της αγάπης οι λαβωμένοι. Ό,τι κι αν κάνουν να ξεχάσουν δεν μπορούν. Μοιάζουμε, μοιάζουμε όλοι ερωτευμένοι. Ίδιος ο πόνος, ίδιο το δάκρυ, σ' όλη την οικουμένη. Μοιάζουμε, μοιάζουμε όλοι ερωτευμένοι. Ίδιος ο πόνος, ίδιο το δάκρυ, σ' όλη την οικουμένη.
Dialogos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Dialogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com. That was Manolis Mitsias wrapping up that set of songs here on the Dialogos Radio with a piece titled Miazume. Prior to that, we heard Lefteris Mitidineos in the song Amphibolias, and we kicked off that set of music with Gerasimos Andreatos singing Paralogo. Greek Easter is soon on its way, being celebrated this year on the same day as Catholic Easter on April the 20th, and the Dialogos Radio will celebrate Easter, which is the biggest holiday in the Greek culture, with some special programming which will feature music and interviews that are appropriate for the upcoming holiday. We'll have more details about what's in store later on in today's broadcast, but for now, we'll get back to some more great Greek music here on the Dialogos Radio.
Καρδιά μισή. Βουρκώσε η μάτια, στεγνώσε το στόμα. Άφησα την πόρτα πίσω μου ανοιχτή. Πιάσε με.
πλήκωμα αστέρι του βοριά. Τώρα που σβήνουνε τα φώτα, πάρε μακριά μου τη βαριά σκιά και δώσ' μου ρότα. Ήλα γυαλί, ήλα γυαλί, ήλα γυαλί, μέσα στη νύχτα με πηγαίνουν οι ανέμοι, κι όπου πατήσω και στάθω σαν το πουλί, τρέμει η καρδούλα μου και το φτερό μου τρέμει. Άβυσο σαν γρυπνή που πάντα με καλεί, και σέρνει εκεί πέρα την ψυχή μου. Ήλα γυαλί, ήλα γυαλί, λάμψε καλή σαν αστραπή χρυσού κι ασύμου. Ήλα γυαλί, ήλα γυαλί, ήλα γυαλί, μέσα στη νύχτα με πηγαίνουν οι ανέμοι, κι όπου πατήσω και στάθω σαν το πουλί, τρέμει η καρδούλα μου και το φτερό μου τρέμει. Ήλα γυαλί, ήλα γυαλί, ήλα γυαλί, μέσα στη νύχτα με πηγαίνουν οι ανέμοι, κι όπου πατήσω και στάθω σαν το πουλί, τρέμει η καρδούλα μου και το φτερό μου τρέμει.
Και κατάχρηση εξουσίας η αγάπη σου. Γιατί πρόσωπα έχει χίλια και το ένιγμα στα χίλια το φαρμάκι σου. Γιατί πρόσωπα έχει χίλια και το ένιγμα στα χίλια το φαρμάκι σου. Είναι θέμα φαντασίας και κατάχρηση εξουσίας η αγάπη σου. Σε στείλα μη ξεχνιόμαστε, βλεπόμαστε, φιλιόμαστε, αγαπιόμαστε. Σε στείλ να μην ξεχνιόμαστε, σε στείλ να μην ξεχνιόμαστε, αγάπη μου βρισκόμαστε, αποχωριζόμαστε. Σε στείλ να μην ξεχνιόμαστε. Έλα με στη νύχτα χάρε, κι όσο αίμα έχω πάρε στο καμάκι σου. Μ' αγαπάει, δε μ' αγαπάει, φιλαράκι είμαι και πάει στο σοκάκι σου. Μ' αγαπάει, δε μ' αγαπάει, φιλαράκι είμαι και πάει στο σοκάκι σου. Έλα με στη νύχτα χάρε κι όσο αίμα έχω πάρε στο καμάκι σου. Σε στείλνα μην ξεχνιόμαστε, βλεπόμαστε, φιλιόμαστε, αγαπιόμαστε. Σε στείλνα μην ξεχνιόμαστε, σε στείλνα μην ξεχνιόμαστε, αγάπη μου βρισκόμαστε, αποχωριζόμαστε. Σε στείλνα μην ξεχνιόμαστε, σε στείλνα μην ξεχνιόμαστε, βλεπόμαστε, φιλιόμαστε, αγαπιόμαστε. Σε στείλνα μην ξεχνιόμαστε, σε στείλνα μην ξεχνιόμαστε, αγάπη μου βρισκόμαστε, αποχωριζόμαστε. Σε στείλνα μην ξεχνιόμαστε.
Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. Take Dialogos Radio on the go with you with the new Dialogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to Dialogos Radio and Dialogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. You're tuned to Dialogos Radio, the Greek radio program, which comes to you each week on 9 radio stations across 4 continents and online, where we just heard some music by Melina Kana and a song titled Protophili, while before that we heard Lavrentis Macheritsas singing Se Stil Na Min Ξεχνιόμαστε, Orpheas Peridis right before that with a song titled Ilayani, and that set of music began with Eleni Telegopoulou singing Piaseme. Today's broadcast of Dialogos Radio is just about ready to come to a close, but coming up next week will be some special Easter programming here on Dialogos Radio, featuring an interview with an esteemed professor, author, and poet from the Higher Technological University of Piraeus by the name of Anastasios Danos, who will talk about the importance of Easter in the Greek Orthodox religion and in the Greek culture. He will also talk about how Greek culture, language, and traditions were maintained during the many years of occupation and war that Greece has experienced, and he will also share his own thoughts on the role of the Greek diaspora in maintaining Greek culture today. This excellent interview is coming up a week from today here on Dialogos Radio, and we may also have some more Easter programming to feature the following week as well, which we'll have more information about on next week's broadcast. For now, though, we'll wrap up today's show with one final song, as we'll hear Steos Rokos singing Stochapi. Dialogos Radio will be back again next week, same time, same place. Thank you for joining us, and we'll look forward to being back on the air again next week here on Dialogos Radio. Until then, have a wonderful weekend.
Τώρα ό,τι μπορείς, κάνε, κάνε κάτι να ξεχάσεις. Βρες κουράγιο, κουράγιο και ψυχή, μήπως και το ξεπεράσεις. Στο χαπί, στο χαπί, πως όλα κάποτε τελειώνουν. Όσοι έρωτες πληγώνουν στο χαπί, στο χαπί. Πώς γεννιέσαι και πεθαίνεις μοναχή. Στο χαπί, στο χαπί. Πώς όλα κάποτε τελειώνουν. Όσοι έρωτες πληγώνουν στο χαπί, στο χαπί. Πώς γεννιέσαι και πεθαίνεις μοναχή. Κάνε τώρα ό,τι μπορεί. Κάνε, κάνε κάτι να ξεφύγεις. Δε χαθήκαν οι αγάπες, θα το δεις. Άρθουν άλλες να σε πάρουν και θα φύγεις. Στο χαπί, στο χαπί. Πως όλα κάποτε τελειώνουν. Όσοι έρωτες πληγώνουν. Στο χαπί, στο χαπί. Πώς γεννιέσαι και πεθαίνεις μοναχή. Στο χαπί, στο χαπί. Πώς
όλα κάποτε τελειώνουν. Όσοι έρωτες πληγώνουν στο χαπί, στο χαπί. Πώς γεννιέσαι και πεθαίνεις μοναχή. Πως γεννιέσαι και πεθαίνεις μοναχή.